Welcome, everyone. I remember when things were normal, I would always welcome those that were watching live on stream, and I would tell you there's nothing like being in a live service. So next opportunity you have, come and be a part of a live service. Well, now, this is how we're doing live services, right? There's a handful of us here, and then there are thousands of you out there that are watching. We're thankful for this technology that the Lord has provided so that the gospel can continue to go forth and be preached. Now, we're doing something entirely different this weekend in our weekend service experience here at Trinity. Normally, we begin with worship, and then we preach the message. We've flipped that. We're going to bring the sacrament of the Word of God first, and then we're going to enter into the sacrament of worship, the sacredness of the Word, and then the sacredness of worship. God's going to speak to us, and then a response to the Word that He speaks to us will be one of gratitude and of worship. And worship is a spiritual weapon in Scripture. So I want you to focus, and I want you to be a part of this Sabbath worship. This is the Lord's Day, this time of gathering of the saints together. We want, as J.D. said, minimize all distractions and let us focus in on what God is going to do in His people, in His church, in our weekend services here at Trinity. I've entitled the message, It Can Happen, Miracles Within the Realm of Possibility. Miracles within the realm of possibility. And I've got good news for you today. In spite of all the terrible news and the bad news that's everywhere, the good news is the kingdom of heaven is open for business. God is still taking our prayer requests, and God is still answering when we call. There is no social distancing between us and God. As James 4 says, as you and I draw near to God, God will draw near or nigh unto us. So we're going to draw near to God. We're going to lean in to what God is going to speak to us through the Word of God today. You know, grocery stores are open, and our appreciation to all in healthcare and law enforcement and grocery and truckers and everyone that's keeping things together when it seems as though things are falling apart. And one of the essential businesses that's open are grocery stores. And I thought of this today. I'm like, Jesus, you said man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so one of the most essential businesses that's going to keep America alive and well is the ministry of the bread of life. So I am looking forward to the days not too far in the future when churches are going to be open again. Let it happen, Lord. It can't happen soon enough. So I want you to listen to this message today as though your life depended on it, as though your life depended on it. I've got two opening scriptures I want to read. So if you're in a place where you can stand, out of love and respect and esteem for God's Word, please stand to your feet. Two verses of Scripture to open up. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Elisha answered, I have a message for you. The Lord promises that tomorrow, here in Samaria, you will be able to buy a large sack of flour for two large sacks of barley for almost nothing. And then we're going to go to verse 2. This is out of a different translation. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Let's pray. God, thank you for the sacredness of the Word of God, the breaking of the spiritual bread of life. For man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thank you for speaking a supernatural word to your people during a time that is so catastrophic and cataclysmic as we are experiencing today. Lord, when there are problems of biblical proportion, there's an opportunity for miracles of biblical proportion. And we pray and believe and ask that for our land today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. You see, problems of biblical proportion, like we're facing globally right now, can result in miracles of biblical proportion. I believe that with all of my heart. And that's the big takeaway of this message today. It can happen. Miracles in the realm of possibility. Let me give you a quick review, a preview, really, the context of these verses that we read here in 2 Kings chapter 7. If you're familiar with the story, in 2 Kings chapter 6, the Syrian army besieged the capital of the nation of Israel there in Samaria, and the city was under siege. The city was shut down tightly, and there was great distress in the city of Samaria. They were running out of food. There was famine. It was so severe, it was so bad, that people were actually eating dove droppings. And there was the beginning of cannibalism. All of this was happening, and it shows you how crucial and how serious the moment was here in the history of Israel. Now, those of you that know your Bible well and your biblical history, you know that the kingdom of Israel at this time was divided into two different separate kingdoms. The southern kingdom, which consisted of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, the capital was Jerusalem. The northern kingdoms that was comprised of 10 tribes. This is the story of the northern kingdoms in their capital, which happened to be in Samaria. And there was a wicked king at that time. Joram was a murderous king, and they were facing a real serious, frightening situation. But God always has a word for difficult times. And God's word happened to come through the prophet Elisha. In the story that we pick up here in the 7th chapter, the king sends a messenger to Elisha. Elisha was gathered together with some of the elders of the city, godly men of the city. And the Lord spoke to Elisha, the king is sending his messenger to you now, and he actually wants to behead you. Elisha knew in advance by the Spirit of God what was happening, what was transpiring. And when the servant arrives, Elisha has a word that basically said, by tomorrow, this famine is going to end. The messenger from the king refused to believe that. And he said something quite peculiar. He said, even if God would open up the windows of heaven and food would rain down, and he was referring to the days of Noah, when the heavens were opened and the earth was flooded, the messenger said, even if God opened up the heavens and food started raining down from heaven, this problem could not be solved. But you know what ends up happening? The very next day, God supernaturally intervened, and there was enough food for everyone times 100. Now, when the messenger heard this, right? When the king's servant, the king's assistant heard this, he mocked it. He said, there is no way under heaven something like that could happen. You know, as we look at what's happening in our world right now, is it possible that this could end from one day to the next? Yes, it is. Am I saying that it will by tomorrow? No, I am not, but it could. It could. But here's what we do know. We do know it will end. We do know that there is a God who is in heaven, who is sovereign, and for the sake of the elect, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he can cut these days short. We preached on that last weekend. So we've got to decide, are we going to be people of faith who hear the Word of God, receive the Word of God, believe the Word of God, or are we going to be people that doubt the promises of God? You see, the promises of God are not only for us when everything's fine, when everything's going our way, when the sun is shining. The promises of God are there for us in the emergencies of life, in the crisis of life. That's when we need to hold on to God's promises, to His blessings. Trust and believe that they will happen. This messenger, He doubted it. You know, two people can hear the same message, right? One responds in faith and humility and obedience. The other responds with familiarity, which breeds contempt. There's an old saying, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. The sun is the same. The substance upon which the sun shines is different. Are we those, when we hear the word of God, we say, yes, Lord, it's possible? And there's a powerful question in Scripture that says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? My friend, there's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. We are facing hard times. We are facing difficult times. We don't know how more difficult the days may become here in America or around the world as we are waiting with anticipation for an answer, a solution to the crisis we find ourselves in. We don't know how bad it's going to get. It's bad now. But here's what we know. God is greater than this situation. Here's what we know. God has made promises to His people, and we can choose to believe and have faith or not believe and respond in fear. This messenger did not believe. He doubted. And Elisha said, you'll see it, but you won't partake of it. If you continue reading here in 2 Kings chapter 7, you find out that literally a miracle happened. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. A miracle happened from one day to the next. This messenger of the king saw it with his own eyes. But as the people ran to get the food, they trampled him underfoot, and he lost his life, as the prophet of God said. The king's messenger saw it, but as the prophet said, he did not partake of it. What do you and I see, right? Do we see the possibility? Do we see that this is going to end? Do we see the outcome? Do we see that there are literally thousands of souls coming into the kingdom of God during this time? Do we see God's hand of blessing and God's hand of provision? Or do we only see that the fear and the trouble and the trial that we find ourselves in? We don't want to be like this messenger, the king, the messenger's king, the king's messenger. We want to believe. We don't want to doubt. We want to believe and receive. We don't want to doubt and be buried. Let's talk about unbelief for just a moment. You know, if pride is the original sin, unbelief has to be the most wicked of sins. I'll say that again. If pride happens to be the original sin, pride entered the heart of Lucifer, and in pride he exalted himself above God, or tried to. Pride's the original sin, unbelief has to be the most wicked sin. It's been said that unbelief is Satan's true firstborn child, and its offspring are as numerous as the stars in the heavens. After Jesus was raised from the dead and he appeared to his disciples, he rebuked them for their hardness of heart and for their unbelief. It's one thing to doubt. You know, we all have doubts every now and then. Even great people in the Bible, great people of faith in the Bible, had their moments of doubt. But there's a difference between doubting and disbelieving, or having an unbelieving heart. So what are the three takeaways for us, for our lives today, from this story here in 2 Kings chapter 7? The first is this: never underestimate what God can do from one day to the next. Never underestimate God's power, God's deliverance, God's intervention. It's happened time and time and time again throughout the Bible, and really throughout church history, where against all hope, God's people still held on to hope. It says that about Abraham. Against all natural hope, he had a source of supernatural hope, and he held on to that supernatural hope. I believe the Lord is saying to us, hold on and don't let go of your hope. Not hope in the natural, because in the natural may not be looking good, but there is a supernatural hope. And our hope is in God. Our hope is in the promises of God. Never underestimate what God can do from one day to the next. The plague that and the famine that paralyzed the city of Samaria, everyone was on the verge of giving up, completely giving up and dying. But then there were some unlikely heroes that came to the forefront. Who might those unlikely heroes be in this great biblical story? We would think maybe they were soldiers, or maybe they were members of the king's court, or maybe they were priests, or maybe they were even some of the prophets in the land that became the unsung heroes. No. The heroes of this story were the most unlikely of heroes. Sometimes out of a bad situation, sometimes the most unlikely heroes, men and women, rise to the forefront. I think of some of the heroes right now that are on the front lines of fighting this hideous plague that's afflicting our planet right now. From pastors and ministers to healthcare professionals to those in the military and law enforcement and the average American that's having to sacrifice and is having to follow strict guidelines to ensure that this doesn't spread, right? Those that are working in the grocery industry, some of the most unlikely heroes. But in our story, the unlikely heroes were four lepers. These four lepers, the Bible tells us here in 2 Kings 7, they sat outside of the city of Samaria. They were basically banished or banned from being inside the city, so they're seated outside of the city. And they came to terms with their current situation. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, about the same time, four men with leprosy were just outside the gate of Samaria, and they said to each other, "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" Wow, what a revelation, right? One of the four finally spoke up and said, hey, look, why are we just sitting here? Why are we just sitting here waiting to die? Now, these four lepers, they really only had three options. And what were their three options? Sit here, and we're going to die any day now. I mean, they were on their last leg, right? No pun intended. Stay here, we're going to die. Go back into the city. Well, you know what was on the menu in that city? Dove droppings and all kinds of horrible things that were happening in that city. That wasn't an option. So, hey, two out of three make no sense, right? Sitting here makes no sense. Going back into the city makes no sense. Here's the third option. Why don't we give ourselves surrender to the enemy? What are they going to do? Kill us, right? We're going to die here anyway in another day or two. We go in the city, we're going to die. What if we go and what if they feed us before they kill us? Or what if they spare us? There is a slim, slight possibility that they could spare us. So thank God for these four lepers. They said, you know what? We can't just sit here. Let's do something. You know, I think that's a message for all of America, right? We can't just sit here. We can't just sit in our homes. Well, we're confined to our homes. Yeah, pretty much, unless you're going to the grocery store or to the pharmacy or to some essential work or walking your dog or, you know, praying for your neighbors as you walk around your neighborhood or what? I don't know, but I know we can't just sit here until we die, waiting for COVID-19 to knock on our door, right? No, we've got to be active. We can't just sit here until we die. Faith has to keep moving. Our faith has to keep moving in faith, in praying, in believing, in vision, in dreaming, in planning, in setting goals, right? We can't just sit here. Faith never just sits. It moves. It moves towards a solution. That's why I thank God for the church that's praying, because the solution is ultimately spiritual in its source. And I thank God for all the dedicated, sacrificing men and women, not only in our nation but around the world, that are fighting to find a solution to the problem that we find ourselves in. But we can't just sit. Miracles don't come to those that simply sit and wait. We got to be active. We got to be moving towards a solution. Where are you seated today, right? Maybe you're seated in fear. Maybe you're seated in confusion. Maybe you're seated and seething in anger. Or are you like these lepers saying, you know what? Hey, there is an option. We've not considered this option. Let's move towards a solution. You know what I love about this is in life, inaction is often as bad as positive wrongdoing. Did you hear that? Inaction in life can be often as bad as positive wrong action. So these four lepers, they had some sound logic. Stay here, die, go in the city, die. Surrender to the enemy. And we had a power surge right there. Amen. may it be the message that's creating the power surge. May that be a sign from heaven. Praise God. Right? So we can't just sit here until we die. We have to do something. America, we can't just sit and wait. We got to get active. We've got to get active. We've got to cooperate with the authorities, absolutely. But listen, we have got to find a solution and begin to move towards that solution. So these lepers, they get up, they begin to march to the enemy's camp, and a miracle happens. As they begin to march to the enemy's camp, they find out, to their surprise, God simultaneously magnified the sound of the shuffling feet of these four lepers, and he magnified it so much that the Syrian army thought it was another army that was coming to destroy them, and out of fear and terror, the enemy fled and left everything behind. You know, from one day to the next, this plague can stop. It can be lifted. From one day to the next, this COVID-19, this living bacteria, this virus, it can run in fear. It can run for cover. From one day to the next, it can end. And that's what we need to pray and believe God for. But we need to get marching in faith. We need to get marching in our prayers. We have to get marching in our worship. We need to worship like we've never worshiped before. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to listen to sermons like we've never listened to sermons before. We need to share God's gospel, the good news, like we've never shared it before. We need to take our faith to a whole nother level. Amen. So number one, never underestimate what God can do from one day to the next. By this time tomorrow, Elisha said to the king's messenger, by this time tomorrow, and the messenger said, it can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. By God's grace and God's power, it can happen. Number two, good news can come out of a bad situation. What's the second prophetic lesson we can learn from this story here in 2 Kings 7? Good news can come out of a bad situation. When these four lepers went into the enemy's camp and they completely fled, they left everything behind, clothing, food, horses, jewelry. Literally, they left everything behind. When we come through the aftermath of this plague, there's going to be some wonderful things that will be left behind that will allow us to rebuild, right? And we have to believe that good will come out of this terribly bad situation. These four lepers, they went from rags to riches, from famine to feasting, from leprosy to luxury. They became the proud owners of the finest jewelry, the finest clothing, the finest horses in the region, because fortune favors the bold. Amen. And then they realized, wow, we can't just consume and enjoy this on ourselves. God can bring something good out of something bad. I think of Genesis 50, verse 20, the story of Joseph when he said to his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God, those two words, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. You see, the source of this COVID-19, it's not from God. But God has allowed it, right? Because he could stop it right now. If he chose to, he could. It will stop. God has not started it, but God can use it. Are you listening to me? God can use it. And what the enemy meant for evil, but God can use it for his glory and for our good. the good of many souls coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus, the good of families reconnecting, the good of us laying down the idols of entertainment, the idol of sports, the idol of the god of mammon, the god of money, and to realign our priorities around what is essential and what is important. Faith and family. Those two things. You know, next week is Holy Week, right? Next weekend, Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter. We're able to say, out of something so tragic as the death of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God in human form, out of something so evil, something good came. Salvation for the whole world. And that's what we have to believe. You know, one of our elders, John Russell, he's one of our elders, and was talking to the other day, and he said he was going to write a blog about the redwood trees in California. And these trees are absolutely amazing, these giant sequoia redwood trees. You know how they maintain their viability? When a fire is actually good for them, when a fire actually comes and burns through the redwood forest, less than a year later, the forest is back in action, creating new life. And these sequoia trees, these redwood trees, even though they're basically burnt to the ground, they're the ones leading the way. All of a sudden, there's still life in those stumps, those burnt stumps, and bright green stems begin to grow out of those blackened trunks. Life always comes. After the storm comes, after the fire burns, there will be new life. So number two, good news can come out of a bad situation. Something good can come out of something terribly bad. And finally, my third and final point, we need to pay it forward. Pay what forward? When we are the recipients of the riches of God's grace and God's goodness and the promises of God, we have to share that good news with others. We can't keep it to ourselves. You know, the beauty of this story is the four lepers, they came to these guys were smart. They were smart enough to get up and do something. And then lo and behold, look at what they discovered. And then they were smart enough to realize, hey, guys, we can't consume all this and keep all this to ourselves. Something bad will happen. Something bad will happen to us, even worse than what we came out of, if we don't tell all the others. So thank God, they sent a message back to Samaria. And initially, they would not believe it. They could not believe it. It just seemed so improbable that from one day to the next, this famine could end. But like the prophet called it, that's exactly what ends up happening. Bread enough for everyone, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the famine was ended. You know, that speaks to the spiritual famine that's in the land. And there is enough bread for everyone. And Jesus is the bread of life. And God has already opened up the windows of heaven and bread, fresh manna from heaven, in the form of our loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has come into our world. And maybe God is using this time to tap in to the greatest hunger in man. The greatest hunger is in our soul. And only Christ in the bread of life, Christ being the bread of life, can satisfy that need, that God-shaped void. As St. Augustine said, my soul is restless until it finds its rest in thee. And only God can satisfy. One time, Billy Graham was asked at one of his last crusades that happened to be in New York City. Somebody asked Billy Graham, what is the greatest social problem in the world? The great evangelist Billy Graham, without hesitation, said, hunger. Hunger. There are starving and desperate people. And the reason so many people, he said, are on drugs and using sex and following after money, they're trying to feed that hunger. The reason there's so much violence and war and rape and murder, he said, and all the wrongdoing is because they're trying to meet the hunger and the need in their life with all the wrong food. You see, there's only the only one that can satisfy the longing in our hearts, the hunger that we as humans have, is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And there's bread enough for everyone. A great miracle happened here in 2 Kings 7. From one day to the next, from within one 24-hour period, problems of biblical proportion can allow for miracles of biblical proportion. It can happen for us. From one day to the next, this could end. We could wake up tomorrow and it's gone. Or not. We don't know. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "O King, our God is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace. But if not, let it be known to you, we won't bow to your idol." You know what, church? Those of you that don't know Christ yet, our God is able to end this tomorrow. But if not, we're going to continue to serve Him. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to trust. And we're going to continue to share with you the good news. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, Trinity Church. We are obligated by God to not keep the riches of His goodness and His grace to ourselves, but to share it. Ezekiel reminds us in Ezekiel 3:18, "If I warn the wicked, saying, 'You are under the penalty of death,' but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible, demanding your blood for theirs." Now more than ever, we need to feel the burden and the responsibility. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, "I am a debtor to the Jew and to the Gentile." I owe a debt, and that debt was to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes." And if you're out there and you are not a believer yet, you can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And those of you that have faith in Christ, hold on to that faith. Don't let go of that faith. It can happen. Miracles in the realm of possibility. From one day to the next, this will end. It can end. But I know it will end. And so we need to begin to pray and believe and be prepared for what comes next. Have faith. Have hope. Continue to dream. God ultimately is sovereign and God is in control. I want to pray for those of you that don't know Christ or need to rededicate your life to Christ. There's going to be an opportunity for you to respond on our website or on our app. And we'll give you some instructions there on Facebook if you're watching live on Facebook. But if you need Christ in your life, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me right now. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you, serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.